Praise be Jesus and Mary. In the second reading today, St. Paul teaches us that we are to pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, and all the other virtues. He tells us that this is what we have to be about, because this is who we are. To be Christian is to be Christ-like. He also tells us that we're to take hold of eternal life, which was promised to us when we made our noble profession of faith. That noble profession of faith took place the moment we made the vows of baptism to reject Satan and to profess our faith in God. So, if we're going to pursue this life of righteousness, which is required of those who have given their lives to Christ, that means that we have to reject everything that contradicts righteousness and pursue godliness with diligence. It's not just something that's optional. We have to be intent on wanting to serve God, to know, love, and serve God. That's why we were created. And this is more important than ever right now because of the situation we live in. Just consider the words of the first reading. Woe to the complacent in Zion, lying on their couches and eating fine foods. Today, you could say, woe to you couch potatoes watching TV and continuously snacking. The fact of the matter is that at the time of the prophet Amos, the state of affairs was deplorable, and it's not good today either. The faith was in shambles, and yet, the people were wealthy, and they had a pretty easy life. They didn't care. And that's exactly why Amos says that, even though they have all these things, they're not made ill by the collapse of the house of Joseph. Look at what's going on in America. We have lots of wealth. The vast majority of people, instead of being made ill over the immorality that's so rampant, are actually rejoicing in it. What's even worse is that it's not just the faith in America that's in shambles, but the faith throughout the world. And, tragically, the vast majority of Catholics are rejoicing because they no longer have to follow any rules. So they think. But, far worse than this is that we even have bishops and priests reveling in it as well. And you did at the time of Amos as well. Woe to the complacent in America lying on their couches, not wanting to hear the faith, not wanting the truth, not wanting the teachings of Jesus Christ, not wanting the Catholic Church. Or they're wanting the Catholic Church to be a secular institute that doesn't challenge their conscience. Now, You know, if we look at the gospel reading, we see a rich man lying on his couch, eating sumptuously, enjoying life. And at his door, a poor baker, you know, clearly starving and sick. The man does absolutely nothing, you know, to lift a finger to help the poor man. And when the end comes, you know, after this rich man has lived completely a self-centered life, he goes to hell. And, you know, the amazing thing is that even from there, he calls out to Father Abraham to say, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to be able to cool my tongue because I'm in torment. You know, look at the selfishness and the arrogance. Send Lazarus to take care of me. You know, he didn't lift a finger to take care of Lazarus. But now he wants Lazarus to take care of him. We need to look within and ask ourselves, you know, are we the ones who are lying complacently? Are we the ones today who are not made ill over the collapse of the house that Jesus found him? We know it's not collapsed, it's going through some hard times, it's gone through worse times in its history, and we shouldn't be surprised, you know, but our Lord promised the gates of hell shall not prevail against his house. That presumes they're sure going to try. So we know the church will be here till the end of time. But yet there still are many who are not even concerned with what's going on in the church or even part of its persecution. So we don't want to be part of that crowd, you know, the rich ones who like the way things are now because they can do, you know, whatever they want and their conscience doesn't even bother them. You know, when many believe that their political party is more important than the teachings that Jesus Christ handed down to us through his church. Or that when it comes to voting, our pocketbook is more important than human life. If we refuse to put our faith into practice and to become complacent, if we rejoice in the collapse of the morality and the righteousness of days gone by, if we rejoice in the destruction of the faith within the church, then listen again to what the prophet Amos says. They will be the first to go into exile. The exile spoken of for us is an eternal exile, away from God, forever, with the rich man being tormented in the flames for all eternity. So, I've said it before, you know, we have a choice to make. We must decide, you know, whether we want to live the faith that we've professed at baptism or whether we do not. We must decide, you know, which path we're going to take. There's only two. we must decide where we wish to spend eternity. And, you know, the choice is made now. It's not made at judgment, as some people think. Today's the day of salvation, and the choice is ours. Well, the question has been asked, and it awaits an answer.